In the Hebrew Testament, the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. How can I stand up before God and show proper respect to the high God? Should I bring an armload of offerings topped off with yearling calves? Would God be impressed with thousands of rams with buckets and barrels of olive oil? Would He be moved if I sacrificed my firstborn child, my precious baby, to cancel my sin? But He's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. And our second reading is from the New Testament. It's a story that we all know so very well. And I looked at this text some time ago and I thought, well, this is not really a Thanksgiving text. Of course, if you read it, it has to do with man and his servants, and they go away and you'll just hear about it. And somehow I suddenly realized that maybe this is the Thanksgiving text in the Bible. Let's see if you agree. Matthew 25, verse 14. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, and to a third $1,000, depending on their abilities. And then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. And his master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. The servant with the 2,000 show how he also had doubled his master's investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, you can also be my partner. Now, I didn't read about the third one because you all know the story, but we know one thing. We also know that this story ends sadly for the one who displeased his master. Story about investment. Nobody in America and the world is currently thinking about investments. Or are they? I think there's not a soul in this church this morning. I don't think there's anyone, because I know there's a group listening in South Africa to us, will be listening in a week, and I know a group in Europe will be listening through our internet, and I don't think there's anyone in Europe and there's anyone in Africa who is not deeply concerned about what's currently happening in the world. I've heard some of our people in discussions in the past few days who are shivering on the brink of the disastrous results of that what they thought was safe. Now they're not so sure anymore. Here ends our reading. God has a message for us through this reading of Scripture. So let us pray for openness and for being in listening mode for our still speaking God today. The same thing happened in another class, and that was in high school, and the teacher asked, on that occasion, asked, just write me, because it's just before Thanksgiving, I want you to write a small composition, and you must tell me, what are you thankful for Thanksgiving? And later he got the papers all back in, and a certain student wrote only one sentence. I am thankful that I am not a turkey. Now what also happened was it was Thanksgiving time, and I do know how much some of you are looking forward to this Thanksgiving. I know that those of you who are grandparents and parents, like Tinka and me, we're waiting for our families to arrive from up north. And I know I won't have a wife between now and Christmas, because she's baking and she's brewing and she's getting ready. She has the special task that our children grew up in Africa, not here, so she's making all the dishes for them that they remember from childhood. And I'm sure that each one of you have a story to tell about why this Thanksgiving is important for you. But imagine if you get this type of phone call if your parents live in Phoenix. So just for a moment, if you have, well, just imagine. Because this elderly man in Phoenix calls his son way down in New York. And he says, son, I know it's Thanksgiving and I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. Pop, what are you talking about? The son screams. Well, said the old man, we can't stand the sight of each other any longer. We're tired of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this. So you just call your sister in Chicago and tell her all about it. And he hung up the phone. So frantically, the son calls his sister. And when she heard the news, she exploded on the phone. Forget about it. That will not happen. I will see to it that they not get divorced. I'll take care of this, she shouts. So she calls her parents in Phoenix immediately and she screams at her father, you are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll be both there tomorrow, and until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me? And she hangs up the phone. Old man hangs up his phone too and turns to his wife with a big smile. Okay, they're coming for Thanksgiving. And now he asks her, what are we going to tell him next year? Friends, for this Thanksgiving, I was seeking to translate a word from the Afrikaans language after reading the scripture for myself, knowing that there is a Thanksgiving message here, but how do you bring the two things together? So I still do it sometimes because I know that I do tend to think in different language sometime, and then I have to translate it back in English, and you know me will say, no, it doesn't always go all that well. It's not that easy. So I know the name, I know what we used to call it as children in Afrikaans, but translating it, I don't know. So finally I dug out my old Afrikaans dictionary, it's an Afrikaans English dictionary that we still used in high school, and I came up with the words translation. Only problem, my favorite word that I wanted to use translates very negative in English. I promise you that it has a very positive meaning in Afrikaans. Because the word that we use is woeker, W-O-E-K-E-R, Woeker. It has a specific meaning, but you know what it says in English? Usury. Usury. And then I went to what does it mean in English? And it says it's an exorbitant or unlawful rate of interest. Now understand, you see, words don't always translate that well, because it means greatly exceeding bounds of reason or moderation. And in other places in the world, if you overcharge people, if you let them pay an exuberant fee, so much interest that it is illegal, then they would say to you, jy het gewoeker. That means you broke the law. And that brought me on track. You see, the biblical master in the story told by Jesus expected that people endowed with great talent would use their talents in a way that exceeds the bounds of reason and moderation. So there is a thanksgiving message hidden in the story of the talents after all. We best show our gratitude by making the best possible use of our talents. Now, you can translate this any way you like. In monetary sense, by investing our blessings with which our Creator has showered us. I haven't a clue why this happened this morning. But somebody in the first service this morning came up and gave me a check for $1,000. And said, this is for our church because you need money for Kivadas. I'm going to tell you who it is. It's Kathy Anderson. Earlier this week I had the privilege, great privilege, to conduct a memorial service for her mother, for Dolores, who sat in that pew for the past 2 years since she came down. And what a princess she was. She on several occasions gave me a check and said, this is not for the church. This is for poor people. So Kathy came this morning with this $1,000 check. And she said, Dr. Fred, I'm telling you, I'm giving this specifically for Kivadas. But I want you to use it the following way. Mother would have wanted that to happen. We're going to cut it up for the congregation and give it to them in cash. So we're not getting it after all. And then she said, and tell them to use that amount of money that you're giving them and go woeker with it, usury. Go do something with it and donate that back, so that we can change our buildings to make them more effective for God's service. I'm not superstitious, but Dolores is preaching to us from her grave today. And you will soon get that money. You can go and have a beer with it if you like, no problem. But the idea is that we get something that we set aside and then we woeker with it. Now you understand what it means. And we get an exorbitant rate. We get so much interest that it would be criminal. And that shall be used so that we can keep this beloved building and the hall, and that we can do something for a future generation that will need us. Because if we don't, there is nothing else that we can leave for them where they can come and learn to know God and to honor God. We best show our gratitude by making the best possible use of our talents. The unfaithful servant had to learn that blessings, if God have given them to you, are not to be squandered away. That's the story of the message. The blessings that God has given to you need to be shared. Shared also in God's service. And the two servants who used their talents in a thanksgiving way, what did they hear? Good job. Good job. You did your job so well. From now on, I make you my partner. Ain't that great? Can you imagine? Jesus tells us a story about our great God, who says, invest the blessings that I have given you, and I shall show you abundance as you have never seen before in your life, because I'll make you my partner. And when God moves in a church, you and I better follow. If God calls us, we need to respond. If God shows us the way, we need to follow in God's tracks. Because suddenly, everything that we have, everything that belonged to us, gets invested. Because we are now partners with God. What a message! I can assure you it brought me to my knees when I sensed the depth of the story of Jesus. For us as Americans, Thanksgiving is when we celebrate the abundance that we have in spite of the realities of our times. Friends, and that's why I started with the international monetary crisis. And oh, if I was a multimillionaire, I know. I'll take good care of myself too. But I promise you, there are so many wonderful people in our community who are hurting, who lost their life savings. That what they had hoped for, that what they had planned for, that they had worked for, has suddenly devaluated. That they do not know. Can I outlive what I've gathered for my old day? What about my children? What about the heritage? Because some of it was for them. That's why I worked so hard. Ah, once again, how deep is the mystery of a still speaking God? Because you have invested your blessings. You are God's partner. And that's what the Apostle Paul had to understand. Because he was tortured. He was in a shipwreck. He was in prison for years. He was finally executed in misery. But they say that at midnight after he and Silas were beaten, they were singing hymns to the glory of God. And the doors opened for them. And before you know it, they were free. And if people get that free, there is not a prison in the world that could keep him in them any longer. Free yourself from the spirit of materialism. And know that we have a great God promising you and promising all of us, fear not, I am with you till the end of time. So we need to get ready if we have nothing else to give our children. We don't know what's waiting. It's almost as bad as in the Great Depression. We do not know. But there is something that we have, something that we possess, that no one can ever take away from us. And that is God's charge to us through the story of Jesus. Endow yourself. Immerse yourself in the greatness of our God. and you shall see. Heavens will be opened, Malachi 3:10. The heavens shall be opened, and God shall pour a blessing over this church and over the future of this church and in your life and in the lives of others. And you and I, even while we're starving from hunger, shall never, never be thirsty again, because we've learned to drink from the living waters. Sincerity and personal meaning behind our Thanksgiving feast depends on and challenges us to dig deeper and look further than the surface of our lives. Oh friend, if your only concern is finances, then you're already spiritually bankrupt. Money is a handout for you. You can take it with today. As long as God blesses us, we will be able to do what we're currently doing. We're feeding the hungry, but we do it in your name, because it is you who bring food every Sunday and place it here. And I'm not lying, you can see it standing there. That's why we do it. Because we know poverty, not having money, is bad. But not having God is disastrous in difficult times. Let's take time to examine the ultimate questions of life. I had a healthy dose of it a few days ago when that big 7-0 arrived in my life. And I can assure you, many of you have been there, others of you, don't worry, it's coming. I can assure you, that 7-0 is a big one, because that's the time when you begin to look back and when you look to the future. That's a time when you begin to calculate, if I stay healthy, I've got so many days left over, if God blesses me to stand here or in another pulpit, wherever, and to continue what I believe I have to do. And your story is different from mine, because we fear not. When we know God, the doors open, and we begin to sing in the darkest night. Then we think about the destiny of the human race, what it means to be fully human, what is the nature of the spirit and the soul. Loving as much as we possibly can, without doing it foolishly or falsely or under whatever pretense. Because when we love, we do God. The Bible doesn't say God has love. The Bible says God is love. And when I have love, I've also discovered the way to the heart of the God who is love. Take the time this Thanksgiving and review your life. Make amends. It's a time to identify and even let go of regrets. It's a time to come to terms with unresolved relationships of the past and to face it. Life moves on. Take in as much joy as you can, whenever and however you can, then go out and spread as much joy as you can, whenever and however you can. Accept your mortality. It's not so bad, folks. It's not so bad. Ask me. In the past month, I had to bury 9 people. And some of them were my best friends from this pulpit. God saw my heart broke and also my spirit break. When the burden gets too heavy, when you feel you cannot go on no more, But it is then that the joy of heaven comes in your life. That's then the moment where God tells you, invest your blessings and I shall give you abundance. Your health is not important. God's kingdom is everything. Accept your mortality. I accepted mine. In misery, I told my wife a week ago, if this is the end, here are my instructions. Sometimes we have to accept our mortality. And I need to understand that God can do without me like this in this pulpit. God can do without any one of us in this church. Your empty seat will not bankrupt God. Do your best to leave this life not with wealth. If you have it, God bless you. I'm glad for you. But leave this life with inner peace, with an attitude of gratitude, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, to be truly thanksgiving, is first of all thanks and then giving. Let the thanks come first, and you will find yourself giving like you've never given before. Let us pray. Take our lives, God. Let it be consecrated faithfully. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my love and help it grow, let my loving overflow. Take me now and help me be part of Christ's community. Amen.
be so enduring, your own dear brethren to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessing thou merit 10,000 beside. Great is your faithfulness, great is your faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, God unto me. Great